Mom was driving. We three kids were scattered around the giant car. We were in traffic that was moving at about 5 miles an hour. Mom was muttering to herself as the sun began setting and everyone started turning on their headlights. And what the headlights picked up on the side of the road was the legs, back, and arms of a figure that was running parallel to the highway, running, arms pulling back, going forward, everything working as a motor, an engine that's pushing it further and further away from us, because this engine, this running person, is my father. Moments before he'd been driving the car, my mother thought maybe he'd had too much to drink and had asked him to pull over, which he did right away. But once the car was stopped, he leapt out of it and started running. I think this was the first time I ever witnessed the running dad. The running dad didn't seem to have a plan. The running dad was simply running. A brief introduction to my father, Larry Paul Porterfield, sometimes known as Big Lair, or to his family, LPP. A complicated man. Let me tell you a little something about our Sunday drives. Back in the early 70s, we had this gigantic Oldsmobile thing. It might have been a Cutlass. It was enormous. You could fit a car from today into the trunk of that car. Anyhow, we would get in our Sunday best, and we would go for a ride up in the hills of Palos Verdes, a very nearby place. that was had these ocean views. You could see Catalina Island out there, and you could see these big, beautiful cliffs with the waves crashing down below about 100 feet at least, if not more. And there was always surfers out. It was picturesque. That's the point. But the further you got back up in the hills, the further you got towards Long Beach or San Pedro over there, the more you'd see of like the fruit stands and the flower stands and, yes, saltwater taffy stands. Now, being children, we all wanted the sweets, and my dad knew that, so he'd see one approaching one of these saltwater taffy stands, and he would say, "Who wants saltwater taffy?" And we'd all say, "Me, me, 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 me." And so my dad would go, "All right, let's do this." And he'd pull over right next to the stand into the gravel driveway, and we'd all be diving in wildly for the doors, and my dad would slam his foot down on the accelerator and peel out of that driveway, shooting rocks every which way in a big rooster tail, a big fan tail of gravel as we hit the road again and somehow avoid hitting any other cars that were anywhere near us. And all the while, when he was slamming his foot down on the accelerator, he always yelled, "Nah!" Wow. It always happened the same
way. Who wants saltwater taffy?
And we never got that taffy. Ever. Not even once.
Who wants saltwater taffy?
But that wasn't the end of our drive. No. The next step was to drive up a little further where we're a little closer to the cliffs. And then we would play chicken. And let me tell you what chicken is in this instance. It was driving alongside these cliffs. And then Dad would yell, "Chicken!" And let go of the steering wheel. At which point the car would do whatever it was going to do. Inevitably, we would be steering our way towards the cliffs. And let me tell you, these cliffs are pretty high up. You could see the water crashing down against the rocks down there, and sometimes, I am not kidding you, you could see old, crushed cars down there, rusted, picking up the sun just so you can see them, as if to say, here's a potential thing that can happen. And so Dad would let go of the steering wheel. Mom would inevitably yell his name. We kids would all shriek. And Dad would laugh like Satan himself. But then before certain doom struck, he would straighten out the car and bring us to our normal speed, and we would all be panting with sweat slowly drying. And as Dad turned the car around to head home, we would all take up our standard positions, trying to look like just any old average family out for a Sunday drive. Nothing insane here. Nope. And later, when I was an adult, I asked Dad why. Why the taffy? Why the chicken? Why any of it? And he said, we didn't have any money and we needed to do something for fun. But decades later, Dad was facing some heart surgery. His mother had been an alcoholic, and she drank during pregnancy, and it had damaged his heart. Now he had to get it repaired. He'd lived with this burden his whole life. We never really knew. He didn't tell us until this time, and I was already in my late 20s. He told me that he'd been having to get his heart checked regularly because he could just drop dead. And I think this might have been what had been driving him to behave the way he did. But he'd never bothered to let us in. Anyway, right before he had this operation, I got a box in the mail from my dad. And inside was saltwater taffy. I'm not kidding you. And so I call him up. I thought, oh boy, he's trying to make amends. And we're going to have a good conversation. And this is really a big moment for me. And I call him up. And I'm trying to keep the emotion out of my voice, but I can't. It's too big. Too much. And the guy, the son of a gun, just started laughing his laugh. That satanic, huge, huge laugh. If I can do it, I'd do it for you. And he made fun of me for being emotional. And I find it funny now, but I didn't so much at the time. Once in a while, Dad would get obsessed with one piece of music, and he would just lean over that old wooden console stereo, the big thing, the big piece of furniture that just happened to play music from a turntable inside. He'd have that lid open, he'd have a drink in his hand, and he would just be listening to one song over and over. As soon as it ended, he'd bring that needle back across and drop it at the start. He had a particular fascination with Johnny Cash for a while. There were several songs he played, but one of the most popular for him was Ring of Fire. And to this day, just to hear that intro with the horns makes me anxious. Because when this version of our dad was in the house, this lonely, sad father, he didn't know what he might do. Love. It was best to stay in your room and read or draw or maybe pull out that shark magazine you found with all those bright, gory photos of victims with their wounds gaping, just to increase your fear of sharks. Because Dad might just go all night. And God forbid you want to step outside and go to the restroom or something. If you're going to do that, it would be best to touch the doorknob to make sure it wasn't hot. Dad was just a boy, and now the boy was running down alongside the highway next to a Model T, a Model T Ford, driving from Iowa to Los Angeles. There was a war on, and there were jobs out west. The boy was a very energetic boy. He always was, always anxious. And his parents couldn't handle the energy while making this long journey. And so they put the boy outside the car and they made him run by driving. They would drive away from him and he would run after them. And in this way, he ran from Iowa to Los Angeles. And when he got to Los Angeles, he decided it was the best place ever. And he couldn't imagine ever leaving, or why anyone else would ever want to leave. Unless, of course, they were going on vacation in Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Lake Havasu.
Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Arizona.
Zona.
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 Ona.
Ona.
They had a chainsaw factory.
They had a chainsaw factory.
Arizona in the 70s. Lake Havasu City, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, a fine place to have a vacation with your family. My parents were really into it, at least my dad was, and the rest of us got to go along with him. And so, many things occurred there when I was growing up, and however, I only want to focus on one of the most big Lair moments ever witnessed by humankind. One time when we were there as a family, we went down to an event down under the London Bridge. Yes, the London Bridge is in Lake Havasu City, ladies and gentlemen. And under the London Bridge, there's a little area with shops and things, popcorn, you could get ice cream. There was all these London-themed doodads and things you can do and whatever. Anyway, so we go down, there's a live band playing, and what they're doing is they're covering all the songs of the times. But the times are the mid-70s, ladies and gentlemen, and the music is classic rock. And so, there we are. We don't want to be there. My dad does. It's really hot out. And my sisters are teenagers, and I'm about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. Anyway, the band is playing, and there's hippies and bikers and all the local desert folk. They're having a good time dancing. There's a lot of handlebar mustaches and tattoos, which at the time you really didn't see very often. And it was a real scene to behold. And it was the middle of the day, and my dad was digging it. And so when the band played their final song, which was a song by Eric Clapton called Cocaine, the crowd went crazy. The crowd went crazy. And they cheered so loudly at the end of it that the band played the song a second time. And they just, it made the crowd even more wild. Everyone grooved a little harder, and all the cut-off jean shorts were shaking and shimmying, and everyone had their leather vests on, and they were just going at it. And my dad was starting to get some ideas. You could see the sparks in his eyes as he was sitting there getting revved up and revved up by this whole scene. And so when the band finished Cocaine for the second time, the crowd went so crazy and so wild, the band played the song a third time. And that was it. Like, Dad started jumping up and down. He was very excited. So the song ends. The crowd is trying to get them to play it a fourth time, but the band flees the stage and disappears, and we never see them again. The crowd is still excited, so they're cheering and milling around, and no one is leaving. My dad is so revved up, and now there's nowhere for that energy to go, so he suddenly, abruptly, bends his knees and pumps his fists in the air and he yells, "Rock and roll!" I look around for my sisters so I could get, you know, some eye contact so we could maybe roll our eyes as one, and they were just gone. Poof, they'd evaporated. And I look for my mother, and she's gone as well, which is really bad for me. So now I'm just by myself, being mesmerized as I watch my dad gear up to shout again. Rock and roll! This time, though, the crowd kind of notices him, this 40-year-old guy. And so they're looking at him, and they're like, "All right, let's see what you got, old guy." And so my dad lets it rip again. Rock and roll! And so they're clapping and they're looking at him like, "All right, that's cute." But then the thing is, on the opposite side of the crowd, we hear a male voice answer my dad's call. Rock and roll! My dad gets energized even more somehow. And so the crowd parts a little bit, and we can start to see that there's a figure back there, and my dad runs 10 feet away from us, and he yells again, "Rock and roll!" And now the young guy appears, and we can see him now better, and he's got blonde hair, and he's shirtless, and he's got a mustache, and he pumps his fists in the air, and he yells, "Rock and roll!" They repeat this over and over until the crowd parts, and they meet in the middle. And they're hopping up and down, and they're turning in circles, and then they got their hands on each other's shoulders, and they're jumping up and down opposite of one another like pistons, but still spinning, and the crowd doesn't know what to do. They're kind of clapping, kind of laughing, and then they're hugging, these two men, but they're still hopping up and down, and they're hugging, and they're spinning, and they're yelling rock and roll, and the crowd's kind of getting back into it, and then it just fades from my memory as though I blacked out. I don't know what happened next. But I do remember when I went looking for my mom, she was hiding behind the popcorn truck. Big Lair suffered terribly from claustrophobia. For some reason, his mother thought it was a good idea to lock him in a closet whenever there was a thunderstorm or any serious weather event outside. This led to him having a lifetime of fear of enclosed spaces. He couldn't be on planes. He couldn't go in elevators. He couldn't handle most things unless he was in control of the vehicle himself. We think Grandma lost her brother young in some sort of accident, and this caused her a lot of distress. But we don't really know the story, so all we can do is guess. But that fear is one hell of a drug. One day in the mid-80s, I drove home from school to find a paramedics truck and a fire engine in front of our home. I ran inside the house and heard activity upstairs, and when I bolted up the stairs, I found a scene where firemen were milling around and two paramedics were attending to my mother, who was laying on the floor wearing an oxygen mask. When she saw me, she sat upright. She pulled the mask aside and said, "Mendy called off her wedding." And this is how I found out that my sister was no longer going to marry the guy none of us liked. And outside of my mother's panic attack, I felt okay about that. Later, when I spoke with Mendy, she told me that she'd gone to a minister, in fact, the minister who would have officiated the wedding, and told him she was having doubts, and I'm sure he did well with whatever he said. But then she went to my father and she told him everything, because despite all the antics and all the crazy stories, my father was someone we could rely on. And these were the moments where he could really shine. This and really dark moments where we all needed his brand of humor and his immense, perfect comic timing. So he counseled Mendy to just forget all about it, put it out of mind. If she didn't want to marry this guy, she didn't have to. He didn't care about whatever money he was going to lose on the restaurant, the dress, all of it. She just should forget it all and just do what she needed to do, which was cancel the wedding a week beforehand. And then my father said, okay, great. Let's all go to Palm Springs the weekend where you were going to be married, and we will just relax and we will sit in the sun and forget about all of it, and you're going to start over. And that's what we did. We went out there as a family, we brought some friends, and we danced all night, several nights in a row. We lay in the sun and swam during the day, and it just was so good. And Mendy was so clearly happy, and so was Dad. I mean, we all were, but you could see that he felt good, and I was proud of him.
You were a sickly child, and how the wind knocked you down. Put on your spurs, swagger around.